Jobs says it isn't competition with other tech companies that inspired the iPhone, but a simple desire for a fresher product, one he personally would want.
No one bets a thousand. You've been called the Babe Ruth of Silicon Valley. Are you worried that you reach a point where there isn't another killer piece of hardware to come out with to wow the world?
You know, again, we don't worry about stuff like that. We just try to build products that we think are really wonderful and that people might want. And sometimes we're right and sometimes we're wrong. But I think we're going to hit a grand slam with this.
Hello, and welcome to Hulkcast, the best 30-plus minute op conversation you're going to hear all week long. Oh, I should have done like a Halloween intro or something.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just gonna do something on the fly here. We'll see how it goes. Hello and welcome to the Cultcast, the scariest, spookiest Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. Join me today. He'll box your ears and steal your beers. Leander Caney is here.
Hello, Epon. Hello, Buster.
Also with us, they call him the Bear because he's covered with hair. Buster Caney is here.
What up?
What up? Gosh, I apologize to everyone. Well, that was a Halloween intro on the fly. I should have come up with some really cool Halloween introductions. Do you guys have any cool Halloween costumes? Are you guys doing anything fun for Halloween?
No, I'm never like big into the costumes on Halloween. I appreciate people that are good with it. I'm just never creative.
Me
like
too.
That.
I always really want to do something cool, but then I can never really think of anything. And then if I do think of something that's really incredible, my next thought is, yeah, I'm not going to go through all the hassle of doing that. I don't want to spend $100 on a bunch of crap that I'm never going to wear again. Leander, what was your best Halloween costume ever?
Tracy and I got dressed. She got dressed as Carrie, you know, like she had this wig and this dress and it had blood everywhere all down her face and everything. And then I was like her date and I was all covered in blood too. Huh? And it was really, really gruesome. I remember
your role though? Like that wasn't in the movie.
Well, you know, her date who got splashed with the blood or whatever.
Oh.
The John Travolta character, right? We were on a bus or the here in San Francisco, and people were really unsettled by us, I think, because it was a really bit kind of, you know, gory.
Because there's
and
just so much blood everywhere.
Yeah.
And there's like blood all over the bus and everything when you guys left. And the bus driver's like, great.
And in fact, I had stabbed her because we had been fighting and she'd scratched my face. And
Buster, do you have any cool costume stories?
No, not a single one.
Not a single one. The only thing that I can recall is I pretty much do the same costume every year because it's just so easy. I bought this giant Mario onesie. So you put it on, and then it's like a giant Mario costume. And then there's a mustache that comes with it, but the mustache is supposed to go on your face. Well, that's not comfortable at all to wear a glue-on mustache. So I put the mustache on a stick, and I would just go around with a stick mustache. But then I've had the costume so long, I must have grown in heights since I've owned it. And someone pointed out that I had an inappropriate knuckle formation in my groin area. So I don't wear it that often anymore because I think it's inappropriate for kids to see it.
But, that sounds it.
We'll
wear
around
the house either.
Well, I will be wearing it for Halloween. So if you come to my house asking for candy, you're going to get two treats.
Oh my god! What a horrible, horrible thing to say.
Actually, on second consideration, it really is, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you should tell the kids your address so they can avoid it. Or at least the neighborhood, right?
We don't get a lot of trick-or-treaters anyway. I don't know why. We never get any. And I even put like the orange light on and everything, and then we'll get like five kids. It must be my neighborhood.
Oh, really? And yeah, you're sending this over skin-tight suit?
Yeah, it's either the neighborhood or it's the fact that the word has gotten out that there's a very inappropriate costume being worn at my specific address, and you should only go there if you are above
kids,
the age of 14.
Yeah, you want some candy?
You want some candy? It's me, Mario.
With a mustache on a stick, yeah.
That, and we hand out raisins.
Oh, really? What, you do all the healthy stuff?
No, I'm just joking. I would never do that to the kids. Are you kidding?
I know.
That's terrible. Who does that?
But what do you hand out? What kind of treats do you hand out? Do you hand out that kind of... Because there's a bunch of people in our neighborhood hand out all that kind of organic crap that the kids hate. Oh, here's,
oh man.
I'm going to give you an apple. <They're> like, you see their faces. They're like, are you kidding?
Yeah. You end up getting pegged in the back of the head with that apple
yeah.
when you're walking outside your house. Right. No, I figured it's like when you want to eat a hot dog, but instead you eat like a tofurkey dog. There's no point.
Yeah.
I hand out the real stuff. Like this is going to rot your teeth. It's going to give you cancer.
Diabetes.
Don't eat too much of it. You should definitely throw half of this away type candy. Like the Nerds are the best. Gobstoppers are one of my favorites.
Oh, huh.
And I'm much more into like the fruity flavored candy than like the chocolate.
Oh, no, I like the chocolate.
What do you guys give out?
Chocolate stuff, yeah.
Except if you give out chocolate. Like, is there any left for the kids?
Well,
by the time
not
they
much.
Get there?
I tend to eat half of it before they... and then I lock the door, right? So that I can be left alone in peace to eat the rest of it.
You just tell Tracy that you need to hand out all this candy to the kids, and then you end up eating
right,
it yourself.
Yeah, well, I used to eat the kids' candy. So they actually hide it from me when they get home. But, you know.
Your kids don't still trick-or-treat, though, do they?
No, they went out a little bit last year and got a little bit, not much.
That's weird when kids over the age of 12 show up. Sometimes you'll have kids show up, and you're like, I swear you drove here.
Right.
You know, that's a little weird.
Yeah.
In fact, is that your car out there? It's still running.
Right.
And just give me the candy,
yeah,
dude.
Hurry up.
Okay, well, let's see here. We actually are going to talk about some Apple stuff this week. Let's see here. Here's what we got. Well, happy iPhone 10 Eve to everyone listening. That's why I forgot about Halloween. It's because the hype factor is so high for iPhone 10 coming out tonight for pre-orders. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to tell you how to get the best deal on your iPhone 10 and save yourself some serious cash. So we'll tell you about the carrier deals that are out there, that type of thing. Also, we'll tell you why the Waz says the iPhone 10 will be the first iPhone he's not going to buy on day one. He's going to skip it, he said. We'll tell you why. Plus, would you let your delivery man enter your empty house to drop off a package when you're away? Amazon's new service does exactly that, and I would love to have a dialogue about that because this is kind of one of those crazy, strange services that Amazon has come out with. Also, if you stay tuned till the end, we will tell you what we like and what we do not like about the gadgets we're currently reviewing in an all-new Under Review. What a show we have for you guys this week. Such a spooky show. Before we jump into the very scary and spooky news, let's go ahead and talk about the watch store, Leander.
Yeah.
The Cult of Mac Apple Watch store
is rocking a bunch of new additions to the store. It looks there's some really beautiful stuff, you know, like with the big holiday season coming up. I think people should definitely check them out. Got some new Casetify leather bands with some nice patterns, ladybugs and palm leaves.
Ladybugs.
Yeah.
Now you're speaking my language.
And it's leather. They're really nice, really, really good quality. Really good vendor. Casetify makes a whole bunch of really, really nice watch bands. And then we also have a new vendor from Brooklyn, E3. They also make really super nice leather watch bands with a special process, which I've forgotten the name of. But here, let me look it up real quick.
Wow, these Casetify ones? These are great.
Yeah, they're nice looking, aren't they?
They're extremely vintage. They look like something that Urban Outfitters would sell.
Ah, right. But, we've been adding vendors. You know, there's a lot of really nice stuff on the store.
Well, the store is curated, like you always say. And it's just the best place that I've found to find a really beautiful, high-quality, key phrase, high-quality selection of Apple Watch straps. And there's something here for everybody. There's tons of designs here.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff. Yeah, it's great.
So where can people go to check out the store, Leander?
So yeah, go to store.cultofmac.com, store.cultofmac.com, and click around, you know, check it out. We've been really adding a bunch of new bands and accessories for the watch. It's really filling out nicely. Like you said, there's a really good, probably the best one-stop shop to see what's out there from all these different smaller manufacturers, a lot of international ones. I'm really, really, really digging the store, really, really enjoying it, really like all the different products that we offer. And if you're a Cultcast listener, use the code Cultcast, CULTCAST, at checkout, and you get a 20% discount.
20% discount with code CULTCAST at checkout. That's at store.cultofmac.com. Store.cultofmac.com. Go check it out. Okay, let's dive into this first story. Oh, the Woz story. So Woz says the iPhone 10 will be the first iPhone he hasn't purchased on day one. Well, first of all, isn't Woz, shouldn't he be, he should be grandfathered in, right? Shouldn't he get one new of everything that Apple makes? I thought he was getting free stuff.
I don't know. You know, it is a good question. Isn't it? I know that I used to get stuff. I had a friend at Apple who used to get, they had a purchase plan, you know, where you get it, I can't remember what the discount was, 20% off a year, mm-hmm. and they would sell it. But it was, they were kind of stingy, you know, like I think it was like one computer maybe, and maybe an accessory or something like that. But then after that, you had to pay full price. So it wasn't really that generous. So I'm surprised. I wonder if, you know, Tim Cook and all the others have to buy their stuff too.
Die. Somehow I doubt it.
Well, into Steve Jobs' day, you could totally believe that, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, in Steve Jobs' day, I would believe that. But,
and it's a holdover, but, you know, there's a holdover. This is the policy that Steve set up, you know, and they're sticking to it.
It just seems weird that for a company with as many billions as Apple has, and you're the co-founder, that they wouldn't just send you an iPhone 10. It's like, here you go, here's an iPhone 10.
This is why they're doing so well.
He's gonna have to wait in line like everybody right. else.
Well, he's said before that he likes to wait in line because he likes the community, right? He likes the camaraderie.
Yeah.
He likes to hang out, and he's running a Segway around and telling jokes and doing a bit of Segway polo.
That's right. He's playing Segway polo
up and down the mall. While,
while he's waiting in line for his iPhone. So when they asked, he was in an interview and he was saying that he wasn't going to get one on day one. And of course, the interviewer was asking him why, and Woz said, "Well, I'd rather wait and watch that one." And he said he's happy with his iPhone 8, which is the same as the iPhone 7, which is the same as the iPhone 6. To me, he said, "Sick burn." So we'll be close enough. Oh, his wife is getting one, so he's waiting to see what his wife thinks of it, but. I think there are people out there that are worried that we're not going to like the iPhone 10. There's no way that's going to happen. I have absolutely no reservations. I think we're all going to love it. Day one, moment one. As soon as you get it, I think you're going to love
Even
it.
Even with and the this, notch?
Yeah, I don't think the notch is going to be a big
there's
deal
There's a lot of notch
all.
Hate really building up on Twitter.
There's some serious notch haters out there, yeah. But there's also people who are hating on the fact that it's not going to have Touch ID. And I just think that Apple is not a company that releases products that have serious design problems right from the get-go.
Antenna gate, bend gate.
Oh, antenna gate was a problem with the way you were holding it, Leander. Everyone knows that. And so I just think that we might have to retrain ourselves somewhat. Boy, I'm sounding like El Caney here, aren't I? Have we switched roles? This is crazy. I just had the realization. I'm literally doing El Caney's part right now. But I think it's true. I think that I'm going to like it right from the get-go. And I just don't think anyone's going to care about Touch ID from the start. Do you disagree, Leander?
Do I disagree?
Yeah.
You're confusing me. Do I agree? Yeah, I think people are going to go bananas for it. I mean, they're already going bonkers for it. It's going to be like a huge... We're not going to get one for months. Who are we trying to kid?
I have hope. I'm staying up till midnight tonight. In fact, if you're listening to this and pre-orders haven't passed, I'm going to be live streaming it. I'm just going to be hanging out with people and, I'll be doing it on my Twitch stream. I'll include a link to the show notes. By the time you hear this, it'll probably
be over.
So it's going to be pointless. But if you're listening to this right when I release it, well then, join me on my Twitch stream. We'll hang out and order the phones. But yeah, I don't know what to expect. I'm going to be there right from the get-go, but it's going to be a total cluster, and I'm sure the app's going to be crashing. The website's going to be crashing. And Leander's going to have 15 tabs open with that auto refresh we told you all about last week.
Right. I'm going to have all these devices. I'm going to have an iPad, an iPhone, my MacBook, the iMac, all of them, you know, like all ready, waiting to go. The big problem, I think, is going to be carrier authentication because you've got to get authenticated by the carrier, your carrier.
Yeah.
And I think that's what held it up last time, like that hung.
And then, of course, it holds up the whole process. And then, you know, 3 or 4 minutes will pass.
And then you've had it. It's too late. Yeah.
Yeah, and you never really know what to do in those situations, right? Because you're getting frustrated, and the website's not working, and you don't really know if you should be refreshing, or because it's probably an API check on your carrier, and if AT&T site's crashing, well then Apple can't do anything about that. You just have to keep trying. So it's infuriating, and of course, on day one you can't buy unlocked phones. They make you buy a carrier locked phone. So
is that why is that to stop scalpers?
I don't know why they do it. I would guess to stop scalpers, but I But maybe even more than that, probably because the carriers make them so much money that they want to prioritize
right.
the carriers, yeah, yeah. you know, business before everyone else's, because most people don't buy unlocked phones.
Yeah, makes sense.
So anyway, Buster, if mm-hmm. you are lucky yes, enough sir. To get an iPhone 10, or let's just say you're going to wait. You're not in a hurry. You're going to wait a couple weeks. What are some strategies the fine folks can use to save some ducats off the very expensive, ridiculously expensive iPhone 10?
Well, trade-in deals, everybody has one pretty much now. So if you have like an old iPhone, trade in your iPhone 7 or iPhone 6S, Sprint's giving $350 off. And then Verizon and T-Mobile, they're doing $300 off. And then if you don't mind getting into bed with Comcast, you can sign up for Xfinity Triple Play and get $500 off. I think it's like
That's a $500 gift card that they give you.
It is a weird deal.
Yeah.
But and you end up with a bunch of services that you don't want. You're going to have phone.
Yeah, because you also have to do the cable and landline phone, too. So, I wouldn't do that one unless you're playing to like, move into a new place with all that or something.
Well, I guess if you already have the triple play, do you know if existing customers can take advantage of it, Buster?
I think it's just new signups.
Oh, of course.
That would be absurd.
Yeah. But why would you sign up for all those services? I guess if you wanted cable and phone, then this might make sense for you. But you know what's totally lame about these deals is they're like half the price that you could get last year. So they were giving people $600 for the iPhone 7 upgrade. And maybe it's because they knew the 7 wasn't going to be as popular.
I remember AT&T did that, but it was only for a couple of weeks. It wasn't the entire time. And I don't know how long these Sprint and Verizon and T-Mobile deals are going to last either, though. But yeah, it is a little bit less than normal. And all of those deals are, you're signing up for like their installment plan too. So
right. And at least with AT&T, I can't speak for all the carriers, but there's some caveats in place. So if you trade in your phone, then AT&T will spread out the discount over 2 years. And if you upgrade your phone before that 2 years is over, then you lose the additional discount and you basically lose a bunch of cash on the deal because they took your phone from you. So you want to be careful to read the fine print on these deals to make sure that you're okay with the conditions. Did they say anything about an AT&T deal this year, Buster?
They still haven't come out with one. I was looking for one. There's still nothing yet.
What?
Yeah.
Of course not.
I'm surprised.
Of course AT&T is giving everyone the shaft. Not even surprised by that. Even Comcast got a deal for you. But AT&T? Nope. Forget it. But tell you what, we will give you a $20 upgrade fee for the privilege of paying us a monthly fee to use our service. Oh, you want to use your Apple Watch? No problem. $10 a month to use the data you're already paying for. All right, let me walk that back. Get my blood pressure down here. Okay, for those of you that want to chance it, for those of you that have mace or bear spray or maybe a switchblade with you, you can try to go into the store on launch day and watch everyone point and laugh at you as you approach the store.
After you camp out all night, right?
That's right. So Apple has promised that they are going to have phones available, the iPhone 10 available, as for walk-in customers on launch day. As you can imagine, though, you're going to need to get there extremely early. Like, in fact, if you're listening to this show and you're not already there, don't even bother. Yeah. Don't even bother.
Right. You're going to be there a week ahead, right?
You're going to have to be there at least the night before, I think, to get one of these phones, because the allure for scalpers is just going to be, you know, too great. They're going to be in there trying to get all the phones that they can. So you're going to be competing. You're not even competing really against other people who want to use the phone, I don't think. You're probably mainly competing with scalpers. So you're going to have to go there on November 3rd at 8 a.m. to get one of these phones and stand in the huge line. So if you decide to do that, send me a picture on Twitter. Would you like to see how many people are
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how many people line up. You know, I've done this well in the past, though. I went and got, you know, I can't remember which model it was, but I got one at like an AT&T store here in the city. And, you know, I think they do send, you know, like in the past they've sent a few dozen phones to those stores and not a lot of people like line up there. So that's not a bad place to try.
Right.
You mean your carrier store?
Right.
Yeah, that's a good tip. The carrier stores often aren't nearly as crowded as the Apple stores are, because who wants to wait outside of an AT&T store all night? So nobody.
Nobody.
All right. So good luck for everyone pre-ordering the phone tonight. We'll be up with you. Leander, I'm guessing that you're going to stay up too to order one.
Yes, yeah, I'll be up.
Buster, any plans? You staying up?
Nah, I'm not going to order one.
You're going to wait it out like the Waz?
Yeah, I'm just going to let you. I want to see it first before I buy one.
See it first.
I do too, but that's not a possibility.
That's not the Cult of Mac way. You have to buy it sight unseen. You have to drop down thousands and thousands of dollars sight unseen, right, just purely on faith.
And you got to buy the top tier right, model too. You can't get the base model. It's got to be like the $1,400 iPhone.
Right. Yeah. Just trust Johnny Ive.
And Tim we trust, right. Okay. All right, let's talk about this Amazon service that was released yesterday, or I guess was announced yesterday. This is one of the strangest services that Amazon has added to their repertoire of services. Leander, this one is a strange one, isn't it? Are you going to be signing up for
Amazon Key? Let me tell you a little about it. It's Amazon has a big problem with package thefts, you know, porch pirates. People taking the
porch pirates.
Taking the packages. That's a phrase I use up here in San Francisco. Like in my neighborhood, there's always like, you know, this all those next door websites are always featuring porch cams of, you know, people stealing packages off of people's porches.
Really, man. So it's a big problem out there.
Yeah, well, you know, a big problem. Given the number of packages they deliver, I'm sure that it's actually only a small fraction that gets stolen. But yeah, it's a problem. It's definitely a problem. So, you know, Amazon, to try and fix this, they want to sell you, they have this new service called Amazon Key, where they will sell you an electronic door lock and a camera, which you install, and they give a special pass to the delivery person who opens up the door, puts the package inside, closes the door, before they run upstairs and rifle through your underwear drawer.
Before they leave wearing your underpants.
Right, over your TV. you know, Amazon's sort of saying that the combination of the camera, the special access request, makes it you know, trustworthy. That there shouldn't be any problems. At least this is what they're trying to sell people on. You can watch it. You know, you get a notification as soon as they swipe in. They have to actually check in. I think the delivery person has to check in with Amazon and get some kind of like real time permission to go in, and then it alerts you so you can watch them on the phone through the camera that you've put inside. You can watch them put the package in and then close the door and leave and everything's fine. Or you can watch it later, like on a recording, to make sure that everything, you know, went okay. And then, of course, you know, you can use the lock for other purposes too, you know, so you can give it to the kids can have a code. If someone comes to visit, you can give them a code. If you have an Airbnb rental, you know, you can give the guests a code there to come in and get access to the property. So it's a, you know, more general purpose lock. And the camera is Alexa powered as well, so you can use it as an indoor security camera. And the whole thing costs about $250. But of course, you know, I think a lot of people have qualms about letting people, strangers, you know, even delivery people into their homes.
At first I thought, this is crazy. There's no way I would let a person come into my house to drop off a package. But the way it was described, they're only supposed to just open the door, slide the package through, and close it. So they're not actually going into your house.
Yeah.
They're just going to push the package in and then close the door, which made me actually feel much better. I don't know. I kind of have mixed feelings about this. Leander, is this something that you would let Amazon do for you?
Yeah, we would totally do it. We actually have these kind of combination locks. They're not internet connected like these ones are. We actually replace like the deadbolts on our house with combination locks. So you have to punch in a code. And the way our house is, we have a gate that we give, and we also have like a little Airbnb unit which we rent out all the time. So the guests get the code to the front gate and then to the Airbnb unit. So it's been really, 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 really remarkable. You know, like a great way, much better than having a physical lock, because we don't have to have keys, we don't have to give keys to people. All you can do is give them a code. So it's worked out great. We've had no problems whatsoever. So I'm a big fan of like of coded locks, deadbolts. You know, and you can set up different codes for different people. So we actually have a different code for the front gate than we do for the house, you know. So the guests get a different code, you know, so that the code only works for the door for the guest unit and not for the not for our house. You know, I don't have any problems with people forgetting their keys anymore. When we give the code to people, we trust. So, you know, we have neighbors come in, our friends, you know, our kids' friends all know the code. So they all let themselves in at all times, at night and day. You know, it's. I have no problems with it, really. And I think, you know, the combination with the camera, like, you know, the UPS guy, we have a UPS guy that comes around here all the time. You know, it's the same guy. We've known the guy for years. Like, I trust him. You know, I trust these delivery guys. I don't think, you know, they're professionals. They get a job. I don't think they're not going to steal your TV, the short-term game. I saw some people were complaining, oh, yeah, you know, well, they're not going to do it. They're just going to scope it out. You know, they're going to look around.
Well, yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. They're going to case your place, right. And then they're going to send somebody back later.
They'll go to someone else. I think, you know, I don't know. I don't have any I'm not that paranoid, you know. I don't think and, in fact, I kind of want them to steal my TV because I want to get a new TV. So, but, you know, I don't think there's going to be any problem with it. I wouldn't have any problem with it at all. In fact, you know, I was looking at it thinking about, oh, I'm going to get it. The only problem is with our setup is that we have that front gate. So we couldn't use it because they'd have to get into the front gate first and then have to get permission to get into the house.
Right. So there's an extra step.
There's an extra step that makes it, yeah, inconvenient for us. But yeah, I would have no problem putting it in.
One of the things that I heard someone say about this, which I thought was interesting, is what about with people who have crazy, insane, devil-possessed dogs? Like maybe little tiny golden ones, you know, that like to bark at people when they come to the door. Right. And my dog, if anyone gets close to the driveway, she goes berserk.
Yeah.
And if you come to the door and you open the door, right. She's going out the door.
Yeah, it's going to rip your face off, right?
That's right. So what happens for people that have dogs? I'm going to guess that they probably should just not use the service. And I also wonder what would happen if the person came to deliver your package, and they knock on the door, you're not there, and then they get the code. Well, they don't get a code from Amazon. They use their app to unlock your door, and they don't actually get a code for your door. And they crack the door, and I'm standing there with a white silk robe that's open, and I'm just totally nude underneath. Is that going to be a problem for them? Is that something that they could sue me for? Because they're on my property, right? And they're like opening my door. That's one of the questions that I have.
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm surprised they didn't think of that. Yeah. Hmm.
That's something that I'm going to need to run past. I wonder if they have an FAQ about this. I think that this is going to be a really popular service, and especially if you live in an area like yours where you have a lot of package theft, or you live in a dense area where there's a lot of people, and, you know, hence there's just a lot of porch pirates, as you called them. Why not just let some guy slide a package into your house?
Well, they've had versions of this euphemism before, right? Don't they have an Amazon locker, or they? What are some of the services that used to?
They have an Amazon locker, which kind of seems like the step before just letting someone put something in your house. But Amazon lockers aren't available everywhere, and sometimes there's not a locker available. Like, you have to reserve one of the lockers, and oftentimes when I've tried it, there's just not a locker available, so you can't.
There was Cosmo, one of those delivery services, were trying to do this. They were trying to persuade people to open up their garages, and they would leave it inside the garage.
Mm. That's not a bad idea.
I don't think it had a camera component, you know, so there was no sort of surveillance angle on it.
Yeah. That's kind of the key component, isn't it? Is the fact that it pings your phone, and you can literally watch the person open your door. Yeah. Put the package in, and then close your door. And then I think the app confirms that your door has been relocked.
Okay, yeah, yeah. So
so they've really thought this through.
Right. Yeah, I think it would definitely, I think a lot of people would, because of that, would get over their initial
apprehension
about it, right.
Buster, what do you think?
I would probably be fine with it, even though I do have a dog and he's big and would come to the door and like be like, "What's up, delivery man?"
And scare them to death.
Yeah, I also just don't use Amazon enough to where I would need this though either. So
I think one of the more interesting parts about this story is that Amazon is starting to deliver packages now, and they're not using UPS and USPS for all their package deliveries. And I think it's only a matter of time before they are the next UPS.
Right. I mean, yeah, they're going to have they're going to be the company that distributes everything, all the goods. It's annoying.
Right, exactly. Like, you'll be shipping all your packages via Amazon delivery or something.
You know, are they going to let is this one of the drone? Are they going to let the drone in?
Yeah, when is that going to happen?
Fly in through your front door?
Yeah. You knock on your door. You knock on your door and there's a drone sitting there with your package. It flies in, terrorizes your family, and then leaves. I don't know if that's actually something that they are doing in many places or at all yet. Isn't it still like in beta?
Yeah, there's too many regulations. I mean, they can't be flying drones around the city here. There's no way.
Or you hear a huge thud and you look at your window, the drone has dropped your package off in your roof and it's just flying away.
I think they're testing it. When they test it in Australia or New Zealand?
I'm not sure. It's a cool idea though, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd bill for it.
I mean, shoot, if you could get a package delivered in 8 hours or less and it doesn't cost you anything additional, which I'm sure it will, at least at first, that would be pretty cool. I would definitely sign up for that. Yeah, so we'll see. I'm not totally sure if I'm going to use this Amazon Key service. I'm not even sure if it's available in my city. I think they said it's available in 37 cities off the bat, which is probably going to be like all the major metropolitan areas.
Seattle's not included.
My first thought is, yeah, I think I might try this. Why not? Just have them slide the package inside and then leave. I mean, it's way safer than having it sit on your porch all day. Getting rained on, by the way.
Right, you know? Yeah, that's the biggest problem in your area, isn't it?
I mean, I have a pretty big awning, but there's a lot of houses out here that don't. But I want to know what the listeners think. Let me know on Twitter, at Erfon, E-R-F-O-N. Is this something that you would let Amazon do? Would you let a stranger come into your house and drop off a package? And if so, would you maybe be standing there completely nude like me, just waiting for them to arrive? I don't know. That's something to think about. Before we do the, before we move on, that's a way to troll the Amazon delivery person. and then you can act all surprised that they're there. They'll be like, oh my gosh, you pervert. And then, anyway, okay, let's move on to this tip before we do an under review. So we're going to be doing this as a sporadic series. From time to time, we're going to start giving you some hot tips on how to use your Mac better, how to use your iDevice, your iPad, iPhone better. And there's all sorts of cool tips that are constantly being posted on Cult2Mac. So we're going to start giving you these from time to time. And I found a great one this week. This is how to use your iPhone one-handed. So there's a one-handed keyboard built into iOS 11. And if you've never tried it, well, you should, because it's actually really convenient. It makes it easy to type one-handed, especially on a 7 Plus or an 8 Plus. Or if you have tiny little petite hands like Alexi Heath, it makes it easy to type one-handed on an iPhone SE even. and it's really easy to invoke the one-handed keyboard. So all you have to do is anytime the keyboard is on screen, you know how there is that little globe icon? Sometimes it looks like an emoji icon when the keyboard is popping up or is popped up. All you do is press and then hold that. And you'll see at the bottom, there are some keyboard glyphs, and it will show different glyphs for different keyboard positions. So you slide over the one you want. I'm left-handed, so I picked the one that shows the keyboard being shifted over to left. And then you let go of the button, and poof, your keyboard will shrink down and move over to the side that you've indicated you want the keyboard to reside on. And it makes it so much easier to type one-handed. Again, especially on the plus-sized iPhone. So give it a try. It's the emoji smiley face icon or the globe icon. It depends on which one is on display on your phone. And plus, it also depends on how many keyboards you have active on your phone. If you don't have more than one keyboard active, I think it will show the emoji icon and not the globe icon because you
right. Yeah, that's what it's like on my phone. It's just the emoji icon. Yeah.
Yeah, same with mine. So it works on either icon, though. So you just press it, hold it, and then you'll see it pop up. And then poof, one-handed keyboard. Give that a shot. It's going to make computing on your iOS device so much easier. Let's go ahead and move into the final segment of the show, an all-new under review, where we tell you what we like and what we don't about the gadgets that we're currently reviewing. Buster.
Oh, what's up?
You want to go first, dude? Do you want to go first?
Yeah, I guess I could go first if you want me
to.
Dude,
what do you got this week? You have some wireless earbuds or something?
Yeah, I got the JLab something 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 headphones.
JLab.
Yeah. The JLab Epic Ear Bluetooth earbuds, wireless. They're good for like working out and stuff. They're $150.
JLab, are they as epic as you would have thought they would be?
I would say they're fine, you know?
wow, ringing endorsement.
The JLab fine ears.
Well, I wouldn't say I'm blown away. Like, it's a nice experience. They're very similar to the type of fit is similar to the Beats Wireless Power Pro or whatever those were that I was using for a long time. But they don't have a wire connecting them, so that's kind of nice. I find that they stay in...
Oh, so they're just two independent earbuds?
Yeah.
Okay, that is nice.
Yeah, and so I find that they fit in my ears pretty well. Like, they stay in much better than some of the other wireless earbuds that I'm testing right now. And they're louder, too, which is nice. So, I mean, I don't have any complaints. Sometimes the setup process is a little bit hard. Like, I think it's the Apple's AirPods must be way easier to connect and disconnect from your phone than these are. So I would say that's like the biggest drawback. It's just usability wise, they could use a little bit on that front, like making it easier to connect everything and stuff. But I kind of like them.
Is there anything about these specific earbuds that are a hook, right, that makes them different than any of the other wireless earbuds out there? Better than the AirPods, for example?
Better than the AirPods?
They're the same price.
They're the same price. Yeah, I wouldn't say they are better than the AirPods, actually.
So would there be any reason to buy these over the AirPods?
Well, these are waterproof, I think.
Oh, they're waterproof. Yeah. Oh, that's a big difference.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're kind of for working out.
Yeah, they're for working out.
Got it. Okay. And, I mean, you sweat profusely. Have they short-circuited in your ear canals?
Not yet, but yeah, you know, I'm a big sweaty beast.
That's part of your sex appeal, I know.
Yeah.
I know that. All right, so the JLab Epic earbuds, they're $150. We'll, of course, link to all this stuff in the show notes if you want to check them out. I'll go next. So I have been trying to review HomeKit compatible gadgets. And one of the things that I recently started checking out was a new smart lock. It's from the company Schlage. I don't know am I saying that right? Do you guys know how to say that? Schlage. They're a really popular lock company here in the US. Schlage.
Okay.
Schlage. Okay. Yeah, it's the Schlage Sense smart lock. And it replaces the deadbolt on your door. So some of the smart locks out there just go on top of your existing deadbolt. This actually replaces the entire deadbolt unit. And it's HomeKit compatible, so you can unlock your door and lock your door with your iPhone, which is actually really cool. And plus, it will send your phone notifications if the door has been locked or unlocked, or if someone has tried to enter your unit without using the key or without using the code, I should say, because it has a keypad on the outside. So you can set up codes, and like the locks Leander was describing earlier, you can set up a code for different users. So you can have your own code, and then if somebody's coming over, you can create a temporary code for them or create a code for them, and then the lock will keep a log of all the people that have used the various codes so you could see who has entered and that type of thing. So it's cool in that regard. And then, of course, being able to control it via HomeKit is ultra handy. But the connection is via Bluetooth, and one of the things I've noticed is you have to be really close to the lock in order to get it to activate via Bluetooth, which has been something that I've had some trouble with. Like sometimes I feel like the lock just doesn't respond. And so maybe I'm not close enough to the lock or something. And so I've had some trouble in that regard. But other than that, this is one of the most secure consumer grade locks that you can buy. It's really easy to use, and it's, the keypad is illuminating, so as soon as you touch it, the numbers will light up, so it's easy to see in the dark. And it's just ultra convenient. It's, once you have a smart lock in your house, you will never want to go back to a normal lock again, because smart locks make it so much easier to control who's coming and who's going. And then also, you don't have to have your key ever. You can just go up to your house and just type in the code, and then you can get right in. One of the other things I did want to mention that I wasn't so jazzed about this lock is just the sound of the lock. I don't know if you have this problem with any of your locks, Lander, but this thing sounds like a high-pitched like grind. I don't really know how to describe it. It's like a grating sound, like kind of like a higher pitched sound that just kind of grates on your nerves. So whenever it locks, it goes and it only lasts for like a second, so it's really not that much of a big deal. But it just kind of like grates on my nerves every time I hear it. I'm just like, man, that sounds terrible. It sounds like it's broken.
It sounds like
but
it is broken.
But it's maybe not. It's working normally. Right. Oh, well, that was the other thing too. I would say installation can be... If you're somewhat handy, installation is not bad. But if you've never installed something like this, or if your door frame isn't square, you're going to have a rough time installing any type of lock that's smart. Because they need to line up perfectly so that when they try to auto-unlock, so when the deadbolt tries to engage, you know, it's lined up with the hole perfectly. Otherwise, it's not going to lock itself, which is actually one of the things that I'm a little leery about with smart locks. Like, what happens if the door doesn't lock? Would you know? Like, this one sends you a notification to your phone if it's unable to lock, but sometimes I don't get those notifications for whatever
reason. Does it light up? It doesn't light up red or something? Because I had a similar smart lock from Quickset, and it lit up red, you know, so you could tell when if it didn't lock. It made that servo noise, and then you hear it clunking, and then it would light up red to say that it hadn't locked.
This lock does do that. So if it locks successfully, it will show you a green check mark, and if it's not, it shows you a red X. But you got to stand there and wait for that to happen. Like, who's trying to do that? Yeah. Like, I'm not trying to do that. So that's one of the other things that makes me a little bit nervous about smart locks is, like, with a manual lock, you know it's locked. With a smart lock, is it locked? Are you sure?
Well, the ones we have, you always know because you can hear it. You know, you hear the sound. And you don't have to sort of hang around because it's actually pretty quick.
Oh, it is.
And I like the servo motor sound. You know, it's reassuring.
Which one do you have?
I can't remember. It's like they're really cheap. They're not connected. You know, it's just a battery powered electronic lock, deadbolt.
Okay. Oh, those are really cheap.
Yeah. You know, I think they were $30 on Amazon. Mm-hmm. You can get them from like Lowe's and Home Depot. You know, they're pretty common. Is it Toll House? Is that Gatehouse?
Don't ring the bell. Isn't Toll House, don't they make cookies?
It's one of those. It's I think it's Gatehouse, maybe. But they you know, the battery lasts forever. It takes four AAA batteries or whatever they are.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's been rock solid, you know, like no problems at all.
Well, the Slag has been pretty rock solid too, and overall I'd say I'm very happy with it. There's two other things I wanted to point out. The first is you can remotely lock and unlock the Slag if you have a Apple TV in your home, and the Apple TV needs to be within 20 to 30 feet of the door so that the lock can talk to the Apple TV. But the Apple TV acts as a hub for HomeKit, if you didn't know that. And so HomeKit devices can be operated remotely if you have the Apple TV in your home. I haven't done that yet because I'm actually using it in my studio, and I don't have an Apple TV in here yet, although I am going to put one in here so I can test it. And the other thing is the app. A lot of the devices that are out like this, they just don't have great apps, and the Slag app is another one that's kind of cumbersome, and the way it communicates with the lock is really slow. So anytime you want to change one of the lock settings, it has to talk to the lock, and you'll be sitting there waiting for like 2 or 3 seconds while it loads the settings from the lock. And then once you make your changes, you have to save it, and then it has to talk to the lock again. And so you're not sitting there waiting for minutes, but it still takes like 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 seconds for the app to respond to what you're trying to do. And every time you want to do something, you're having to wait for the lock to react to the app and the app to tell you what's going on. And it's just like, geez, this needs to be quicker. It needs to be instantaneous. Ain't nobody got time to wait for this kind of thing. They really need to spruce up the app, in my opinion. But unfortunately, with HomeKit devices, this is kind of par for the course. I feel like a lot of HomeKit devices don't have the best apps. So anyway, the Slag Sense Smart Lock. I really like the lock a lot. I know there are things about it that I like and things about it that I don't like, but overall, I think I would actually highly recommend this lock. It's good looking too. And so you have, you know, a nice aesthetic, you know, on your house, on your front door, which is important. And I'll link this in the show notes as well. Okay, Leander, take us home.
Okay, well, I was going to mention I was going to talk about a printer that I bought at that yard sale, you know, where I bought the Apple the iPod Hi-Fi.
Uh-huh.
So the same guy sold me a printer. It's a beautiful photo printer, but I don't know if that's really fair because it's actually been discontinued.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Canon PIXMA Pro 9000.
Well, maybe they have a newer model of it.
I don't think so. I was just looking around, and I don't think they do. It's a large format like photo printer.
How big is it? Like, how much does it weigh?
It weighs, I don't know, you know, 30 pounds or so.
Oh, wow. So it's massive.
It's big, yeah. And it prints out like tabloids. So I think the biggest is 13 by 19.
Mm-hmm.
And
why the heck did you want this thing?
Well, because I had one before and I printed out some pictures of the kids, but then the heads dried up and I couldn't use it.
Why didn't you just replace the heads?
Well, because I think it was more expensive. You know, these things are...
Of course.
And the cartridge is expensive. You know, it's like $120-$130 for a set of cartridges for this thing. It's an inkjet,
it's just easier to buy a whole new printer.
Indeed, right? Yeah. So the guy that sold to me had like a couple of boxes of spare cartridges, and it works perfectly, and it's beautiful. Oh my God, it is delightful. You know, it's wonderful to see, pictures you took on your iPhone printed out like in big tabloid, you know, format.
That's interesting. So are you using it often to print photos?
Well, I've just been playing around with it because I only just got it set up, you know, a couple of days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I printed out some photos of my kids and some pictures I took of the Golden Gate Bridge, you know, from my iPhone, and they look astonishing. You know, they look really amazing. Now I've got to find somewhere to hang them up. You know, there's no room anywhere. But
start giving them out to all your friends for Christmas and their birthdays. Great. Leader gave me another one of his photos.
Right. I know. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I might make a book or something. We'll see. Anyway, I didn't want to talk about that. I actually want to talk about something else. Something that's new, which is some bike lights from Light and Motion, which is a company based here in California. I think they're based down in Monterey.
Mm-hmm.
And they're actually known for their diving lights. They make these crazy diving lights for divers. But they also have some really nice bike lights. And these are always really highly rated because they put out a ton of lumens. You know, they were one of the first to like go to LEDs. And they could be kind of pricey. But they've got these new ones called the Vibe Pro, and they're designed for urban riding. And they're kind of like the iPod of bike lights. They have no on or off switch, and they don't have any switches for adjusting the patterns. It's all done automatically. It has sensors, so it'll sense when you start moving. It'll start, it'll turn the light on, and then when you stop and if you're motionless, it'll automatically turn the light off. And it's actually really convenient. It's great. You know, you can put them on your bike, and you don't have to worry about them. You know, thinking about, turn them on or off or what kind of pattern you want. It has a sensor as well for day or night. So the front one is a solid pattern at nighttime, and then it senses when it's in daylight and it starts flashing. So you'll get twice the battery power out of it, on a flashing mode. They're completely sealed. You know, the way they make them, they sort of inject mold the coating around them so that they're almost, you know, completely waterproof. They're recharged by when you take them off the bike, you just plug them into any USB socket and they recharge in a couple of hours.
So how many lumens are they?
Well, the front one is 200 lumens, which is actually really pretty good. I think a lot of competing lights are sort of like around 100 lumens or so, 150 maybe. So these are 200, and it's 250 on pulse mode. So it's at nighttime. It's I've ridden them where there's been no lights, and it's plenty to see by. Even
but
if
more importantly, it helps you not get squished by a garbage truck.
Right. Yeah. And they have they put out some light at the side, so there's a little bit of they have a couple of amber lights on the side, so to help you see from the side. I haven't actually sort of looked at them to see how well they do that. They're actually pretty small. They're easy to put in a pocket. No, they're designed to put them on the bike. You quickly put them on. You quickly take them off. You can put them in your pocket to stop someone stealing them if you're going to go to the coffee shop.
Is there
like
any problem with people stealing bike lights? There probably is.
Yeah, definitely. But a lot of the other ones, you know, like some of the other ones in their range, a lot of the other competing bike lights, the good ones are big. They're pretty hefty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not easy to can't really stick them in a pocket.
Because they're bolted down into the bike too, I bet.
Well, no, like the detachable ones. You know, like most bike lights, they are detachable. They're designed to be taken off the bike if you park it up outside. But you know, they're often pretty bulky. So these are small and powerful, but easy to pocket. Mm. That's what I like to. And then you don't have to really think about them at all. You know, like they turn on, they turn. Sometimes with bike lights, you forget, you just kind of forget to turn them on.
Right.
Especially if you're in the city, you know. So these ones, they're automatic. And because I don't really lock my bike up outside, you know, I lock it up when I'm at home. I lock it up when I get to work. I never lock it on the street because the thing would be stripped in a minute. I'm not really taking these lights on and off.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
But it's great that and especially you got to have lights on a bike even if you're running in the daytime. Even in California, you got to have daytime running lights. They're a huge safety improvement, you know. And I like these because you just leave them on. You know, like they're sort of no brainers. They remind me like the other lights I had that were really good are C-Sense. Icons, but they're much more expensive, but they're much
smarter.
Well,
how much are these?
So these ones are the front one is $60, the back one is $50, but you can
that's
get
not bad at all.
But you can get a package for $100.
That's so not bad at all.
Yeah, it's not too bad for a bike light, and then they're nice. They're really good lights.
And what was the name of the company again?
Light and motion.
Light and motion. Okay, got it. Can I say also, yeah, we talked about your $10,000 bike last show, and you sent us a picture of it, and it is the most beautiful bike. Aside from Pee Wee Herman's bike, it is the most beautiful bike I've ever seen in my entire life. It is gorgeous. Yeah.
You don't really mean that.
I mean that. I'm dead serious. It's the most beautiful bike I think I've ever seen. It looks like Batman's bike. Like, if Batman were chasing you on a bike, if you were the Joker and you looked behind you and Batman was coming after you, cape blowing in the wind, he would be riding this bike.
Yeah,
it is jet black. It's just, because it's not a production bike, it doesn't have all the paint and everything on top of it. It's just carbon fiber. And if they sold this bike, they could probably ask even more money for it than they're selling it for if they didn't put any of the paints or any of the crap on it, right?
Yeah.
It's gorgeous. Gorgeous.
Yeah,
it's like the supermodel of bikes.
Yeah, it's stealth. It's all murdered out. It is nice looking.
I hope that you're like your skin tights... leotard that you wear when you go biking.
That's the thing. It looks like there's some weird homeless guy riding it.
People are like, I think that guy just stole that bike when you go by. But I hope your whole entire outfit is just blacked out. I mean, it's just everything black.
No. I got white shoes and a white helmet. But I think you're right. Probably need to get some black stuff. Yeah.
You should get a cape too. I'm just saying.
That would should get a Batman look. Outfit, like a Adam West. You know, like when he got a bit older. I could be like Batman.
Now you're talking. Oh man, you'd be the coolest bike rider in the entire valley.
That's my Halloween costume, man. There you go. You got it.
Bat bike. Do, 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 do.
Yeah, mine are the way, citizens.
That homeless guy stole a bike and a Batman costume. I posted a picture of your bike on my Twitter right before we started recording. So if anyone's interested in seeing what Lander's bike looks like, go check it out. I
put it in the show notes.
I'll put it in the show notes too. Oh, that's a good idea. All right, well, let's go ahead and wrap it up there. That's all the Coldcast we have for you guys this week. Hopefully you guys got your pre-orders in, and we will be looking forward to getting our hands on the iPhone 10, hopefully on November 3rd and before the new year, hopefully. But that's all the Coldcast we have for you guys this week. If you want to come talk to us about any of the stories that we mentioned in today's show, we are on Twitter. I'm at AirFunBustersBST3R. Leander is L. Caney. This has been the Coldcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Coldcast come out every Thursday night. I want to wish everyone a very happy, very spooky, happy Halloween. And we'll see you guys next time. Lander, you got a sinister laugh. You do one. That sounded like Gargamel from the Smurfs. That wasn't scary at all. It's like if you asked a kid like to do a scary laugh, like what they would do.
Thanks.
That's a compliment. You're just such a nice guy.
Well, I was totally straight, and I did see some UFOs.
Did you?
Yeah. Well, it was really strange. It was like at this hill where I lived when I was a teenager, and these two sets of lights were coming up. It was overlooking a valley, and they're coming up low, up and through the valley, and it looked just like Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Huh.
You know, with the smaller UFOs.
Uh-huh.
And they came right towards me, and I was actually, you know, scared shitless. And then when they went overhead, it was a pair of helicopters.
Oh. I thought the story was going to end with you waking up in a grass field in a very sore bunghole. and Alexi Heath standing over you, standing over you.
Yeah,
Alex, how did you get here?
Friggin' aliens.